Well, that was a good word. Good morning. I'm so glad you're here. Before we begin, I just have one quick, another announcement from Women's Harbor. You know, Women's Harbor cares very much for the children around the world through a project called Operation Christmas Child. And each year we're able to send more and more shoeboxes. And our primary fundraiser is coming up on October 15th, but the deadline for it is this Saturday night. So if you've been thinking you want to come to paint night, you paint a beautiful picture, part of the money supports Operation Christmas Child, we really need you this week to hop onto the website and to let us know that you are signing up, because otherwise they're going to have to cancel this amazing event, and we don't want that to happen. So go this week, sign up, and be a part of that awesome project that's coming up. So hey, this is a big deal for me. This is my first time ever preaching 2 weeks in a row. So woo! Great to see you all. How was your week? Was it good? Was it good? My week had a crazy moment in it. So the fun part about preaching today is I decided not to tell my husband this story until he was here today. So he gets to hear it with all of you. So this week I went over to Costco to get some items for our compassionate care lunch, and I had a great list ready to go. I opened the door to my car, and I reach over to grab the list, and the door slams closed. So I have a Honda Pilot, and when that happens, I know if I open my door, the alarms are going to go crazy. So I'm thinking, oh no, what's plan B? Because in my hand is a car key with a dead battery in it, so I can't press the little red button like you're supposed to. So I think, I know, I'm going to put it in the car, turn the ignition. All set. No, that doesn't work, just so you know. The car alarm is going crazy. So before I know it, three nice people come over to help me. And I got the door open, and I'm trying to figure it out, and I literally can't think. Have you ever been in a place like that? The noise is so loud, and I'm worried the battery's going to die, and I can't think. And a woman comes over to me, and she says, I'm not helping you steal this car, am I? And I'm like, if you only knew, I'm like a pastor. No, I just forgot to get the battery fixed in my car. So I hand her my key, you know, not thinking. And I'm looking through the manual, and she does the most amazing thing. She goes over and puts the key in the door from the outside and turns it. The alarm stops instantly. And what annoyed me so much is, I know this. This is not the first time I've had the battery die in my car. But in the midst of all of this, with the noise and the sound, I forgot something that I already knew. Have you ever done that? Have you learned something? Jesus has taught you a lesson and you forget it. And you know, I think that's something that happens to us when we think about giving freely. Because from the time we were born, we realized that we were created to give freely. And I know some of you are sitting here today, and this is not the first message you've heard, and you're thinking, great. I got up early this morning to hear someone else tell me to give to my church. And I want to tell you, that is not what today is about. It's a reminder that we realize life gets busy and we forget what's true. And we allow the noise in our life to keep us from being able to think clearly. And the craziness in our life happens when there's no margin, right? We're spending more dollars than we make. We're keeping every moment so busy, there's not a moment to have a cup of tea with somebody. And we have souls that no longer know how to rest. But people, we were created, Harbor, we were created to give freely. That's who we are. And I know there may be one of you here, and you've just met Jesus. And you're thinking, I don't even understand who he is or who God is. And we have good news. We want to invite you in Group Link that Amy just talked about. One of our groups is called Starting Point. And it's going to take place during this service, the 11 o'clock service, one room over. And we're going to talk through what it means to know who God is and who Jesus is and what's this Bible and how do I know him better. And so maybe you've taken it before. Maybe you've started a Starting Point, but then the craziness of life happened and you weren't even able to go very often. We invite you to join us too. And if you're sitting here today thinking, I've been a Christian for a long time, I probably know it all, I want you to know that I have learned so much from Starting Point. It's definitely deepened my faith. So I just want to invite you, Sunday mornings at 11, that's one of the groups we'll be offering next week. So for all of us that have found our way back to God, we're still growing, aren't we? We're still learning how to live fully and love deeply and give freely. And I really look to Starting Point as something that's helped my faith to grow. And part of our growing faith is understanding that we were created to be people who give freely. Now, if you know me, you know I've been a children's pastor for a long time. And one of the fun things about being around children is they love to give freely. Now, I know they also struggle with sharing, but they love to give freely. If they go find a pretty flower, they want to pick it and then they want to give it to you. If they find a penny or they have only one penny, they want to give it to you because they're your friend. And so often at snack time, we'll put Cheerios in front of them. And my friend Jeff is helping me on staff right now, and he's used to youth ministry, and he doesn't know this, that when they come with their Cheerios that they've already licked multiple times and go to give it to you, don't eat them. I had to tell him that last night. He didn't know that yet. So, but they love to give freely. So if you take a moment right now and think back to the first time that you were able to save up your own money and buy something for someone. Do you remember how excited you were to give them that gift? I asked my girls about it this morning, and they both remember the Christmas when they were able to purchase something for their sisters. What it was and how excited their sister was, they don't actually remember what they got that year. It's probably true for you. I think back to my life. My meme used to live with us, and we used to play this game called Pokino, and we had these pennies. And now as an adult, I realize that she let me keep all the pennies. But I remember I was younger than 10. I don't know how old I was, but I went shopping with those pennies, and I was able to get my brother and my sister as a present. And I remember what I got them and how excited I was to give. And that's because we were created to give freely. So I want you to think before we begin, is any part of you pulling back against this? Are you thinking, oh no, here's another condemning sermon about me not giving enough? Let's look at Romans 8:1 and know our heart. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Know this fact, God does not need our money. But he's for our joy. And he knows that giving freely leads to a life filled with joy. So my hope is as we leave today, we will begin to ask God to help us have margin in our lives so we can do the things we were created to do, to say the right no's so that we can say the yeses we need to say, to help us use our time and our talent as the resources they were. They're gifts from God, and we were called to steward them well so that we can help people find their way back to God. That's what it means to be people who give freely. This is our final week in that three-part series out of the book of Acts, where we've looked at the book of Acts to see what it means to live fully. John preached on that 2 weeks ago and talked about Peter and how he was able to preach the word of God, and 3,000 people that day were saved and were baptized. And then that afternoon we went out and people just spontaneously decided to be baptized and to recognize the role of Jesus Christ in their life. Last week we looked at what it means to love deeply. We talked about what happened between the book of Acts chapter 2 and chapter 6. From a time when the people came and shared everything to a time when people started to feel there was an us and a them, and they had to push in again and work really hard to make sure that they were people who loved deeply. And so today we'll continue through the book of Acts, and we're going to look at what it looks like when we are people who give freely. And then an arching theme over our entire year is that we are walking from garden to city, from the book of Genesis, where we began in January, with an understanding of what it meant when God created men and women, and he said they were tov. They were made exactly as they were meant to be, but somewhere along the line in Genesis 3, sin entered the world, and it broke our relationship with God. And since then, God has been redeeming us and restoring us back to him. And so now we're in the New Testament, and we'll continue all the way to the book of Revelation right around Christmas time. So this is our final week in the book of Acts. And we're going to look at people who were able to live fully and love deeply and give freely. In Harbor, we have the same call on our lives today. We're called to be generous people. And we're only able to do that when we know we are God's children, holy and dearly loved. We've been redeemed and ransomed. We have been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So I think it's important today, as we look at this idea of giving freely, to think about the word enough. What does that mean? As I began to prepare for today, I realized we need to know to the core of who we are that God is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider, and he has given us enough. When we look back at the book of Genesis, we also, in the Old Testament, went into the book of Job for a few weeks, and people believe that occurred at the same time as the book of Genesis. And if you have time today, open up the book of Job, look at chapter 38. God himself speaks there. And he talks about how there is enough, there is provision, there is a line that he puts for the oceans, and they may go no further. Part of understanding God and his great love for us is knowing that he has given us the gift of limits. There is enough. Now, all of us sitting here today and throughout history have been given the same limit, the limit of time. We all have 24 hours in a day. No one gets more than that. But our other limits are different. Some of us have a gift of a limit in our health, or our treasure, our money, our talent. And we have a choice. We can respond in one of two ways. We can say, thank you, God. It's enough. Or we can begin to covet and look around at others and think, they have more than I have. And what we decide is going to impact how we're able to serve and be people who give freely. Out at our welcome table, we have journals. And they're not just empty. They have devotionals that describe what we're going to be preaching through this whole series. And they were written by my friend Emma. And in the book of Acts, this week right now, she talks about how in the book of Acts, there was united generosity of the local church. And because of that, people were able to find their way back to God. It was the generosity that people saw that attracted them to the church in the book of Acts. It's the same thing today, isn't it? When we look and act like Jesus, people are attracted and they ask us, who is he? Why are you able to do that? And we're able to share with them the gospel and tell them the good news about Jesus. If you've never had a Bible before, we want to give you one as a gift. There are the blue books in the back. Take one home. But we'll also put all of our scripture on the screen so you can just read along with us. And in the Bible, in the New Testament, the last third of the Bible, there are four books at the beginning of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the gospels, the good news. And in there, we see Jesus and we hear what he has to say. And I don't know why. My husband and I were talking about this. As humans, we struggle with believing what Jesus says and doing it. You know, God clearly says in Ephesians chapter 4, right? Be kind and loving to one another, forgiving one another because Christ has forgiven us. We know that God has called us to be people who forgive freely. But there's something inside of us that wants to push back and make sure that person feels as injured as I do, and I want to be right. But God knows what forgiveness does. It leads us to him. It allows us to live lives filled with joy. And it's sort of the same thing whenever we want to think about giving freely. There's something in us that even though we know the great love of Jesus, it's hard for us to really hold our treasures with an open hand, knowing that they are all his, and just freely give it back to him. Something in us wants to hold on tightly. We think, if I give that away, there won't be enough. If I give away that hour, if I give away that dollar, there won't be enough. But God calls us to be people who give freely. And we're able to do that when we believe that God is who he says he is, right? That special, precious name of Jesus, Jehovah Jireh, he is our provider. He has given us enough. That's where we need to rest. Our confidence needs to be in this, that God is our provider. And the truth is, you and I, we really are God's hands and feet. We bring good news. That small group of believers in the book of Acts changed the entire world because they were able to give freely. So I want to take a moment and just look at a few scriptures, talk about what it is that Jesus actually said. As followers of Christ, we're called not just to believe in him, but to believe him. So we're going to look first at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. And Jesus said, don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And the problem is, we never really, in our own strength, get to a place where there's enough. You know, I think back to when my husband and I purchased our house. We had a window seat in my kitchen, and I'd always wanted a window seat. But we were being responsible and not spending money before we had it, so I saved up for the cushion and the pillows for my window seat because I didn't know how to make them myself. And in those months while I waited, I knew to the core of who I was that once I had a window seat with cushions, I would never want anything else again. Have you ever been there? Have you been, I just need that one thing. Well, it turns out I was wrong. As soon as I got that, there was something else I wanted. The part of us that was created to do what God intended us to do will never be satisfied by the things of this world. Jesus told us that. He told us in Matthew 6, chapter 24, no one can serve two masters. You'll hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be, can you read this with me? Enslaved by money, right? That's what Jesus is saying. Don't let money enslave you. And Jesus continued, that's why I tell you, not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough to eat or enough to drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't we far more valuable to him than they are? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? Verse 34 says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow brings its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. There's actually biological reasons why our brain wants to worry. It gives it something to do when we believe that life is out of control, but you don't have to believe that. God is on the throne. Life is not out of control. But when we don't have enough sleep or our bills are more than our income, our life is so busy and chaotic, we're like I was that day with the alarm going off. We're not able to think clearly and remember truth. So don't sit here today and think that we are trying to make you feel bad, that you don't share your money or your time with other people. If you hear nothing else today, please hear this and believe it. God does not need our money, but he is for our joy. And he has told us that the joy comes from the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Galatians 5, verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You are the only one in all of history who can do what God created in advance for you to do. Our lives are a gift from him. Every day is a gift. Our time and our talent and our treasures, they are all resources from God. And we're the stewards, but we're not the owners. And what does that mean? If you go to Webster's, the definition of stewardship is an activity or job protecting and being responsible for something. We're protecting the gifts he's given and being responsible with them. And that only occurs with joy when we really believe that we have enough. We have been given his provision to do with our strength and the resources he's given what God needs us to do for his kingdom. We have been given enough to do what he needs us to do for his kingdom. And you know, I didn't know a year ago that Jed and Jeff were going to step out of ministry and that I'd be standing here today and God would say, Kelly, I want you to be on the teaching team and help lead our children and be part of Compassionate Care. But you know what? My faith has grown in this season because before I even knew what to ask, God provided people and resources for everything that we need. As you walked in today, our church is full of people who love God and love people. And we're providing care for our church and for the community and for our city. You know, last week we looked at Acts chapter 2 and we saw the most amazing thing. We saw people gather together and live lives where they lived fully and loved deeply and gave freely. And people were attracted to that and the church grew. And so today we're going to look at that radical generosity that continued in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. And with the great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostle called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. I can remember back when my girls were little and I discovered Barnabas. We were in a season of time where we watched The Purple Dinosaur all the time. Anybody ever have to watch Barney over and over again? And so that's what I thought of when I thought of Barnabas. I love you and you love me. That's what he did. He was the encouragement for the early church. And we saw that right from the beginning, he lived this generous life. He sold something, brought it, and laid it at the apostles' feet. That's what Jesus said. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Giving freely defined the early church. Some of you grew up as I did. I grew up in a church where we often looked at Malachi chapter 3. It's in the Old Testament. It says, bring your tithes and your offering into the storehouse. And I so strongly believe that 10% of everything God gives me belongs to him, not just any 10%, the first. Living under blessing is important. But you know what's beautiful? From the book of Malachi to the book of Acts, what do we see? People aren't just bringing their first 10%. They're saying, Jesus, everything is yours. What you have done for me allows me to live a life where I can give freely. They believed Jesus. They didn't just believe in him. They believed him. And Jesus had a close friend. His name was John. He was one of the disciples. And he wrote that book, John, in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John Gospels. But he also wrote at the end, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He was a dear friend of Jesus, and he wrote in 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need and has no pity for them, how can the love of God be in that person? And this is where our identity comes from, these next two words. This is who you are. Dear children, adopted by the Most High God, dear children, holy, dearly loved. Let us love, not with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. You know, a few months ago, I learned a prayer that's very easy to say, but very hard to do with integrity. I learned it at Manchester Christian Church. I live up in New Hampshire, and one of the things they do is on Thursday nights, I go to their service so that I can worship. And a few months ago, they preached around generosity, and they had this prayer, Lord, what percentage of my income is generous to return to you for your kingdom? And see, I had grown up with Malachi 3, and I learned from a little young age that if I made $1.10 was Jesus, and I was giving freely, and sometimes I'd give above that, but I never stopped to think 10%'s not the top. We can go to 20, 30, 40, 100, whatever Jesus asks. And that's why I began to pray this prayer. Lord, what percentage of my income is generous for me to give back to you for your kingdom, to invest in the kingdom of God? And you know, the early church needed to be built on truth. Those of you who know people who are still struggling to believe in Jesus know there's a word they throw out all the time, isn't there? Hypocrite. And that means when they think we're saying one thing that's different from what we do. The word is just Greek. It just means actor. It means pretending. We can't help sometimes. We end up being pretenders if you're like me and on that line of grace and truth and you're over here on grace, so far over on grace that there's no more truth, right? When you want to do something and you don't do it, there's no truth in that. And so when we go from Acts chapter 4 to Acts chapter 5, we see something that's really important. The early church needed to be what we need to be today, people of integrity. And what would it look like if every follower of Christ in the whole world said, Jesus, what percentage of my income is generous to return to you and invest in your kingdom? I think people would be drawn to communities where people live generous lives. We've seen it before. When you tell someone about something you've done or served or gave and they ask you, how do you do that? You have the same amount of time as me. You don't seem to have much more money than me. How do you do that? And you're able to share what the provision of God has meant in your life. But when we don't live lives of integrity, there's consequences. And one of those things almost happened. Let's look at Acts chapter 5. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property, and with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You've not just lied to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who had seen what happened. And then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body and carried him out and buried him. And about 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that's the price. And Peter said, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband, sorry, I lost my place. Then the young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear seized the whole church and all who heard these events. Why does this matter? Why do you think this scripture is in the book of Acts? I think it's because what we say has to match what we do for people to believe in the Jesus who has transformed our lives. We have been given a call. Live fully, love deeply, give freely. And the good news is integrity is something that we can learn. I wouldn't say I was a person full of integrity before I met my husband, but he is a man of integrity, and watching him has grown that in me. And that's what we need around us, examples of what integrity looks like, people who say things and follow through with them. And that's what happened in the early church. And when it happened, people were attracted. And they came to hear about Jesus and his great love, and they were filled by the power of the Holy Spirit and went out and did what God had created in advance for them to do. But did you hear what Peter said to them? Ananias and Sapphira, you didn't have to sell anything. Everything was yours. And that's the truth today. You and I do not need to give anything. God created the world by speaking. His kingdom will advance. But the good news is he invites us to be a part of this, to invest the resources that he has given us into the only thing that will last, the kingdom of God. See, I think one of the struggles that we have in life is we look back as we get older and we start to think where we have invested our time and our talent and our treasure. And there's no lasting value. Have you ever done that before? Started to clean out a basement and realized the money that had gone into things that are now going to go into the dumpster. When my girls were little, we loved a little show called Clean Sweep. It was on TLC. I don't know if you ever saw it. And there was a man named Peter Walsh, and he'd come into your home and take everything outside so you could see how much you had and then help you get rid of things and bring it back in. And I remember a certain episode where there was a woman who had all these sweaters that she never wore, but she wouldn't let him get rid of them because she had bought them on a credit card and hadn't paid them off yet. And here she has an amazing organizer in her house ready to provide her with a new space, and she can't let go of something because she realized she had spent money on something that had no value. And it's not just our money, is it? Our time is a gift from God. Our lives are a gift. And I know that for some of us today, that's hard because you, right now, you feel like you don't have one more second to give. And that's why last week I wanted to remind you of the great truth. God has given us a gift. It's called Sabbath. It's his commandment that one day a week we stop what we're doing and we rest. And we begin in that rest to have margin in our lives and be able to hear what God has to say so that we're not doing things with our time that then we look back on and think, why did I think that was the right thing to do? When I began to prepare this message, I was reminded of a time when my girls were little. My youngest daughter, Emily, has done an amazing thing. She's figured out how to plug our old video camera into our television. And now I can watch all those videos that we taped of my girls when they were little. We never, ever got around to watching them. And one day I was watching them with my girls, and I see my husband taping my girls, and I'm so thankful for this memory. They're little and adorable, but here I come up from the basement, and you can hear me in the back yelling at him, why are you wasting a Saturday taping the girls? I was down in the basement wasting a Saturday. I just didn't know it then. If I could go back in time, I would have been there and been present and encouraged him every Saturday, tape them so we can go back and remember. And when our lives are running at a really hectic pace, we don't stop. And we don't say, God, what do you want me to do with this precious gift of a life that you've given me? So once again, my prayer for this message has always been that these words would not cause anyone to leave today feeling condemnation. I love how Paul speaks to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. And this is true for us, Harbor. God is doing amazing things in us and through us. People are finding their way back to him. And Paul says to the Corinthians, since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. I think this is the heart of Jesus for all of us. He wants us to excel at this gift that can bring us joy, the ability to be people who give freely. And you'll know that this is growing in you when you become excited to give. And in verse 11, the second part, 11b, it says, give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And God can do that. The power of the Holy Spirit can make our hearts long for what makes him long for us. He wants us to be people who give freely because the kingdom of God is the only thing that matters. It's the only thing with eternal value. He has put us here with the time and the talent and the resources to bring people around us back to God. I recently listened to a podcast that my friend John Emery told us to listen to, if you're friends with him on Facebook. And in there, his friend was talking about a diet that he had gone on that had incredible results. He was eating really healthy food, drinking a gallon of water a day, and he was seeing amazing results. But the first week ended with something called a cheat day, and he was able to eat whatever he wanted. And he said the night before felt like Christmas Eve to him. All he could do was dream about the food he was going to eat. And so the next day he got up and he ate and he ate and he got sick. And for me, it had just such an impactful thought. That's what we do. See, here God had given this man food that was nourishing his body and water that was keeping him from being dehydrated, but he didn't long for that. He longed for the food that was literally bringing him death. And I don't know why that is on this earth, but that's when Jesus spoke the Sermon on the Mount. Everything is sort of opposite, isn't it? Blessed are you when you mourn, because you're going to be comforted. None of us want to mourn. Something in us has to fight for the power of the Holy Spirit to overwhelm our lives, so that we can begin to long for what he longs for us, because he's a good father and he wants what's best for us. He knows that giving freely leads to joy. Holding things tightly does not lead to joy. And we have been given a gift. The power of the Holy Spirit in us can make us long for what he longs for. So my encouragement today is simple. In the quiet of communion, In the still moments of the morning this week, ask God, God, what does it look like for me to be a person who gives freely? What percentage of my income is generous to give back to you? Because the rules of the universe are true. Zero times anything is zero. God cannot multiply zero. But I'll tell you, as someone who counts the money on Monday, nothing brings me more joy than seeing someone who put $2 into an envelope, because I know God can multiply that, right? We can bring our gifts to him as little as they are, but when we bring them with joy, he's able to multiply. And that might be your step of faith today. Your step of faith might be saying, God, I'm going to take some of what you've given to me and I'm going to invest it back in your kingdom. Maybe it'll be your time. You'll go out and find the right ministry where you can use the gifts and the talents that God has given you for his kingdom. But know that no matter what you invest in the kingdom, God will multiply it and he will do what only he can do. He will help people find their way back to him. And that's the point of all of this. So I want to share with you a story. My friend Laurel comes here, and she shared the story with me before. About 4 years ago, Jed had asked us all to pray for one person that we could invite to Saturday night services. We would love to start them up again the first Saturday of November, but we need people who are serving, people who are willing to commit and be part of that service, and people who will pray for us. And so as Laurel began to pray, God put on her heart a friend she hadn't seen in a really long time. And she fought back against that because it didn't seem normal for her to just call her out of the blue. But she couldn't let it go. Jesus kept stirring her. Invite Maria. Invite Maria. So she called Maria and said, Maria, would you like to have lunch with me? And Maria said, yes, I'd love to have lunch with you. And then she invited her to the Bible study that she was leading. And Maria came. And then she came Saturday night. And then she started to bring her little granddaughters on Sunday morning. And her daughters began to come. And now my friend Shemai greets you as part of our First Impressions team. And her sister Dara serves with me in Kids Harbor. And the beauty of this story is at night, Dara sits between her two little girls and takes out her Jesus storybook Bible. And she reads to them of the love of Jesus. And their lives are on a different trajectory because people here gave freely. And we were able to have a space where Women's Harbor could have a Bible study. And Laurel gave freely of her time and was able to lead. And then when the grandchildren were brought, there were people to greet them and help them learn about Jesus so they could go home and tell their mom. And then their mom came and gave her life to Jesus, was baptized right on the stage, and is going out. And I told my friend Maria, you know, your family are trophies for God. And that's true of each of us, isn't it? Those people that you love, that you think are so far from God, God created them and loves them and has a plan for them. And that's why when we give our time and our talent and our treasure, it matters. When we invest it in the kingdom of God, he is able to do what only he can do. So in a moment, we'll have a few moments to sit before Jesus and to ask him this question. Lord, what percentage of my income is generous to invest back? You've already given it to me. It's a gift from you. I just want to give it back to you. Lord, what does giving freely look like right now for my time with this talent you've given me? And only he can answer that. Your answer doesn't look like your neighbor's. But listen, and let's be known. This is what my prayer is, Harbor, that we would be known as the most generous church in Chelmsford, in Massachusetts, in America, in the world. People can be attracted to the Jesus who loves them and made them, to the God who has a great plan for them, as we use our gifts for his glory. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we stand here in awe of how amazing you are. Jesus, as you left this earth, you spoke final words over us. You said that we will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and that power will allow us to be your witness, telling people everywhere about you. And that word went out from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth, so that we sit here today in North Chelmsford, because before us someone was found faithful. And they gave their time and their treasure and their talent with joy because they recognized it was from you. So, Lord, make us a people who give freely. Fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Allow us to know who we are is who you say we are. Lord, may we go out as your dearly loved children, rejoicing in the gifts you've given us that we now freely return to you. And we ask that in Jesus' name.